Hello and welcome to the Bloomington Pantograph on Monday afternoon, February 20th. It is President's Day. This is Susan Over. We will begin today's reading with Public Safety. Cocaine. A Bloomington man faces felony drug charges related to alleged cocaine sales. Aaron Neal, 37, of the 700 block of West Walnut, is charged with unlawful delivery of a controlled substance near a park and possession of cocaine with intent to deliver that drug. According to a statement read in court by a prosecutor, Neal admitted to police he went to Danville to pick up drugs for sale in McLean County. Neal was held in lieu of $100,000. Attempted abduction. A Florida man remains in McLean County Jail in lieu of posting $3,035 in bond on formal charges of attempted child abduction. Edaliso Melgar-Guentes, 19, of Ocala, Florida, was arrested by Normal Police at 12:03 p.m. last Wednesday. Normal Police Chief Rick Bleichner said family members notified the Normal Police Department that a juvenile was missing Wednesday morning, but was located soon after. Court documents indicated the suspect and the juvenile were previously acquainted. That juvenile was returned to his family. End of story. Police searching for missing Streeter woman. Police say a LaSalle County woman is missing and believe her ex-boyfriend may be holding her and her son captive. Kayla Stratton, 24, and her 11-month-old son, Paul, have been missing from their Streeter home since about 11 at night on Friday, police said. According to the Sheriff's Department, Stratton may have been forcibly removed from her vehicle following a traffic incident. Police confirmed her car crashed into a utility pole at the end of East 1st Street in Streeter. Kayla and the child have not been seen since. Police are looking for that woman's ex-boyfriend and father of the child, Clarence Merritt, 33. Kayla is 5'4" tall, 125 pounds with brown hair. She was last seen wearing a purple hoodie and blue jeans. Her son was wearing a gray shirt and dark jeans. Anyone with information is asked to call the LaSalle County Sheriff at 815-433-2161. End of story. Pothole crews are vigilant despite the mild winter. Bloomington has seen fewer potholes than usual this mild winter, but city employees are still working hard to fill them as soon as possible. Quote, the city of Bloomington, as many Midwest communities are, is experiencing less potholes this winter due to the lessened amount of freeze-thaw action, but there are still potholes, said Public Works Director Jim Karch. Karch and Normal Public Works Director Wayne Aldridge said, this week, crews are out in force. The worst time of year for potholes due to cold and moisture, but they have had time to take on other projects as well. I would say it is about average this winter, Aldridge said. The winter was really tough 2 years ago. We put down like 300 tons of coal patch that year, whereas a typical year is 150 tons. Aldridge said, typically a two-man crew will take out a one-ton dump truck to complete patching work, putting in a shovelful at a time. When they are not filling potholes, crews from both cities take on other projects, including concrete panel failures, pavement failures, and sidewalk repairs. On the other hand, they work overtime during tough seasons. This last year, we did much more sidewalk work and concrete pavement patching because the weather is better overall. For example, we are out doing sidewalk work right now, where typically we might be involved in snow removal. There is always more work that needs to be done than our resources are able to accomplish, Karch said. Both men said they get a big hand from residents who report those potholes. Potholes in Bloomington can be reported by calling 309-434-BUMP, 309-434-BUMP, or you can email pothole@cityblm.org. Normal potholes can be called in to 309-454-9571, 309-454-9571, or you can visit normal.org. We typically have a 24-hour response and we try to get it done in 72 hours, said Karch of answering residents' reports. He said crews especially appreciate when residents submit photos of the potholes they are reporting. Much of it is driven by reports. They actually perform a service for us by calling. There are folks we hear from all the time reporting potholes, Aldrich said. That doesn't mean our crews are not out there. If we see a pothole, we will patch it. End of article. ISU Center talks teaching with podcasts, Normal. With the motto that says, gladly we learn and teach, it should not be surprising people at Illinois State University like to talk about teaching. But what might be surprising is, talk is happening on a university-produced podcast. Podcasts are like radio broadcasts, except you download an audio file to your computer or a mobile device. ISU Center's For Teaching, Learning, and Technology, CTLT, started its Let's Talk Teaching podcast last fall. So far, it has produced 20 episodes. The 20 to 25-minute episodes generally involve host Jim Gee interviewing the center's director, Claire LaMonica, on topics ranging from what should be in a class syllabus to how to create a teaching portfolio. Gee, a CTLT coordinator with a background in broadcast journalism, was a fan of podcasts even before the center started producing its own. The center staff had been talking about how to distribute more information on teaching, and finally it clicked, he said. Claire and I would have these conversations. I would learn so much just talking to her and thought we should record these, said Gee. LaMonica said, one of the reasons it works is Jim is a good representative of the people I want to talk to. He has the same questions they do. At first she worried they might have trouble coming up with ideas to sustain the series, but that has not been a problem. Sometimes we respond to current events. Sometimes we respond to university initiatives or goals, said LaMonica. One episode was simply titled Claire's Bookshelf, when she talked about books she has that are good resources for teaching, end quote. The idea is to have one more way to get the message out to faculty that they do not have to worry about issues on their own, and the center that is there to help, said LaMonica. Although the podcasts are aimed at ISU faculty and staff, subscriptions are free to anyone. Go to ctlt.ilstu.edu/podcast. ctlt.ilstu.edu/podcast. For instructions on how to subscribe or listen to recent episodes. The recording is done in Gee's office, which he also calls Studio Gee. It costs less than $500 to set up everything with microphones, headphones, and related equipment. In the most recent podcast, Great Expectations, LaMonica and Gee talk about how to communicate high expectations to students. One key is to let students know you believe they can achieve the high goals, according to LaMonica. Challenge them without making them feel they are being punished. The episode also talks about how to get students back on track if, for example, they are missing classes. Suggestions include reaching out in a positive way, such as telling the student, "We missed you," or asking, "Are you having a problem?" LaMonica said they didn't find any other teaching center doing regular podcasts. She is hoping to make a presentation about ISU's initiative at an upcoming meeting of the Professional and Organizational Development Network. End of article. Public input sought for ISU plan update. Illinois State University wants the community's opinion about its future. The school is in the midst of updating its strategic plan that is called Educating Illinois. Officials want to know what people, including those who live off campus, think about the challenges facing ISU and what they expect it to look like in 15 to 20 years. Those wishing to provide input can take a survey at educatingillinois.ilstu.edu. The deadline for completing that survey is February 24th. Brian Beam, one of four co-chairs of the Educating Illinois Task Force, said President Larry Dietz asked us to consult with the campus community. That includes our local communities. Quote, "We have a close relationship with Normal, of course, and Bloomington, and consider ourselves a strong civic partner," said Beam, Executive Director of University Marketing and Communications. Input from alumni is also sought. This is the fourth update since the first version of Educating Illinois was approved in 2000. Sam Catanzaro, another co-chair, noted the progress made at ISU since then, thanks in part to goals set in that plan. The six-year graduation rate at ISU has risen from 55.1% in 2000 to 73.4% today. That is an amazing increase in that time span, said Catanzaro, Associate Vice President for Academic Administration, Policy, and Faculty Affairs. Increasing diversity was another goal in the original plan. Catanzaro said 11.5% of students enrolled in fall 2000 reported having a non-white background. That doubled to 23% in 2016, he said. Comments from participants in roundtable discussions during a public forum on Valentine's Day in the Bone Student Center included expectations that ISU will have more international and out-of-state students, expanded academic programs in high-demand fields, such as cybersecurity and health, and a greater number of online courses in the next 15 to 20 years. Not surprisingly, considering that Illinois still does not have a budget more than 6 months into this fiscal year, finances were seen as a major challenge facing ISU in the years ahead. But other challenges cited included competition for students from other states and the need to replace or renovate older buildings. The 2013 through 18 version of the plan was subtitled Individualized Attention, Shared Aspirations. Officials expect individualized attention to continue being a hallmark at ISU. The question is, said co-chair Danielle Miller-Schuster, what does individualized attention mean in 2030? Miller-Schuster, Assistant Vice President of Student Affairs, said, our hope is not to change the identity of the university, but to build on its strengths. After information from the surveys and public forum is compiled, the task force will reach out to specific groups with more focused discussions, said Catanzaro. The task force expects to have a first draft of that plan by fall and a final draft ready for approval 1 year from now. End of article. Bike share to launch March 20th. Bloomington Normal's delayed bicycle sharing program now has a launch date and a new name. Starting on March 20th, that is a Monday, any adult can go to 9 different Twin City locations, check out a bicycle through Bike Share 309, a program paid for by the Town of Normal and operated by Zagster, a Cambridge, Massachusetts company that helps small cities operate short-term bike rental programs like those in major cities. Bikes will be available around the clock at Advocate Broman Medical Center, the Connie Link Amphitheater, ISU Cardinal Court, Schroeder Hall, Tri-Towers, and Watterson Towers, Illinois Wesleyan University's Hanson Student Center, the Route 66 Visitor Center in downtown Bloomington, and in Uptown Normal, according to the town's website. Riders will be able to buy one-day, monthly, or annual passes that gives them 1 hour of riding for free, with a $3 charge per additional hour. Billing and checkout will be conducted through Zagster's smartphone app. Users sign up through the app or at zagster.com/bike-share309, which was not active last Friday. The town hoped to launch the program last year but delayed it into 2017. In September, the Normal City Council approved paying Zagster $84,600 per year for the next 3 years, a $3,287 setup fee, and 7% of rental proceeds, with the rest going to the town. The company estimated Normal will recover 20% of its expenses through user fees, said City Manager Mark Peterson. Despite hosting Zagster stations, the City of Bloomington, ISU, and IWU were not lined up to pay for the program. Broman agreed to pay $10,000 each year and will advertise on the bikes and the stations. Supporters hope the program will make Bloomington Normal not only more mobile but healthier, more productive, and more welcoming. Peterson said the program is low risk because it can be shuttered with 90 days notice. ISU and IWU already offer bike sharing programs, but they are only open to students, faculty, and staff, and they have limited hours and locations. Quote, "We think bike share is a great way for visitors to experience what Bloomington Normal has to offer," said Michael Gorman, treasurer for advocacy group Bike Blownout last fall. "It is a great opportunity for people who live here and do not own a bike to try before they commit to buy." End quote. End of article. Divorces. The following divorces were recently finalized in McLean County. Evans, Keith and Anna Evans. Mason, Mark and Teresa Mason. Durbin, Ronald and Connie Durbin Sr. Stevenson, Rhonda and Roderick Stevenson. End of article. Area calendar. Registration taken. Wine glass etching. 10 a.m. till noon and 6 to 8 p.m. on March 9th, which is a Thursday, at the Normal Public Library. That is for ages 15 and up. Registration is required by March 5th. Tickets available, Pheasants Forever, Livingston County Chapter, 6 p.m. on March 20th, which is a Monday, at the Pontiac Elks Club. The doors will open at 5 p.m. You may call 815-657-7789. 815-657-7789 or contact LivingstonCountyPheasantsForever.org. Registration taken. Tinkering Tweens Beginner 3D Printing from 4 until 5 p.m. on April 20th. That is a Thursday. At the Normal Public Library. That is for ages 10 to 14, registration is required. You may contact normalpl.org/register. President's Day Open House, today, noon to 3, at the McLean County Museum of History in Bloomington. End of article. More than 380,000 cheeseburgers later. After recently selling their 10 McDonald's restaurants in the Bloomington Normal area to cap 29 years of micromanaging, two arches and hundreds of thousands of customers, the Dobskis, Bob and Julia, had a retirement gala last weekend at the Doubletree Inn. Nearly 500 guests were there. That seems like a lot. Then you consider, since 1988, their stores sold 383,656 cheeseburgers, 159,848 Egg McMuffins, 71,240 Big Macs, 169,988 Sausage Biscuits, 329,784 Small Fries. Biggest seller, might surprise you, is hash browns. They fried up 498,004 orders of them. The Dobskis, okay, they probably deserve a break today. This is Bill Flick's column. Ah, this 21st century technology. Reported in this space last week was a weird news story out of San Diego. It is the one where a TV news anchor was reporting the story of a little girl who ordered a $160 doll house via Alexa, the popular Echo Dot device. By simply reading this story and saying Alexa, the anchor's voice triggered Alexa devices all over San Diego to begin ordering all of them, $160 dollhouses too. Now an update. In Normal, on the morning that story appeared in this newspaper, amused because they also have an Alexa device, Helen Flood read aloud the story to her husband, Mike. And alas, when Helen got to the quote about Alexa ordering a dollhouse for the little girl, the Echo Dot on a table in the Flood's living room was activated. He immediately responded with an offer to sell them a $160 dollhouse, says Mike. When she finished the pitch and said, "Would you like to buy it?" Quickly, I said, "No, no." That's when Alexa offered us something else, which we also declined. Alexa quit working so well. Even Conan gets face painted. If you are a frequenter at any of the Bloomington Normal area festivals, children's events, or street fairs, you have encountered Mickey Lauer. She is the Zoo Lady, a face painter for which she is so well known, she recently garnered a Woman of Distinction Award, one of Bloomington Normal's highest honors. As you might also know, Mickey has a daughter, 30-year-old Britt Lauer. A budding actress in Hollywood whose star grows by the day. That is when the other night, while guesting on Conan, the 10 p.m. talkie on TBS, Britt suddenly whipped out face paint and, in a funny bit, proceeded to paint up Conan O'Brien's face. The video of it all can be accessed on the Flick blog at pantograph.com. "What a great moment," says Mickey, when she mentioned her mom taught her. "If a picture indeed paints a thousand words, the one on national TV of Conan getting painted by Britt, the ex-little girl from Haworth, who used to and still does shadow her mother to Bloomington Normal area street fairs, is easily worth $10,000, especially for one smiling mom." A Bloomington Normal restaurant defying the odds. When it comes to business success, especially in Bloomington Normal, it is as the axiom goes, location, location, location. Except for maybe Braise, B-R-A-I-Z-E, a pop-up restaurant with some of the best sandwiches in town. It is located inside, of all places, a VFW hall wedged in a building along Lincoln Street on Bloomington's southeast side. Armed with college educations in finance and entrepreneurial business, and opened a few years ago by two sandwich creative Lexington natives, Zach Polito and Brandon Leach, Braise has brought a lot of new feet to the VFW's out-of-the-way locale. Now they are trying it again. They have applied for a liquor license for a spot inside the Park Regency Hotel in East Bloomington. "We are excited," said Leach, eyeing an April 1st opening. Stay tuned, taste buds. An amusing but not so Valentine's story. Deborah Small lives with her husband in a home along Fairway Drive in Bloomington and happened to glance outside on Valentine's Day morning to see a van of a popular Twin City flower shop whip into their driveway. "I was so surprised, so excited. I haven't received flowers in years," she says. Deborah waited for the doorbell to ring and waited. That's when she looked out to see the van slowly back out of the drive and take off down the street. Do you think florist shop drivers ever think about the fact they can stir a lot of emotions by simply doing nothing other than turning around in someone's driveway? "If someone was trying to play a cruel joke on me, they succeeded," said Deborah, chuckling, sort of. End of article. Trainer works out ways to help first responders. On the wall of Jared Gam's Bloomington garage is a poster board with 10 patches, each belonging to a different law enforcement, first responder, or military agency, mostly based in Illinois. Quote, "I am not very creative myself, so I had to ask my mom and girlfriend for help. It's too stressful for me." While Gam leaves the artwork to others, he takes real pride in his role as a personal trainer. Gam, that's spelled G-A-H-M, who has dabbled in bodybuilding, worked as a bouncer, and was even an MMA fighter, is now focusing on providing free personal training for our first responders in his home. Quote, "Over the years, I developed several friendships with first responders. I designed some workouts specific to what their needs are for work," he said. "What they need is very different from what someone who wants to get in better shape or lose weight will want. So we work on exercises that will benefit them in their job." In order to be admitted into any of the Illinois certified police academies, candidates must pass a set of standards developed by the Illinois Law Enforcement Training and Standards Board. The Peace Officer Wellness Evaluation Report test sets standards for a 1.5-mile run, bench press, and sit-ups based on gender and age. I would not have come close to passing that test without Jared's help, said Dustin Carter, the chief of police in Stanford, who also works as a police officer in Lexington and Colfax. I needed to make some lifestyle changes with eating and workout habits. Jared helped me to do that. Gam, who has degrees in sports psychology and nutrition from Eastern Illinois, has designed a set of grips hanging about 7 feet from the ground on a weightlifting rack and tests his clients on regular grip tests. For police officers, if they have to get into a struggle with someone, they often have to hold someone down for 30 seconds during that altercation, he said. So what I do is try to develop exercises that will build muscles for that kind of situation. It is very difficult to do, but I have seen guides who really made progress. I have never had anyone make it to 30 seconds yet. So far, the record is 18 seconds. In his full-time line of work, Gam sells supplements for First Form, PHORM, but has transformed his garage into a small gym. He works with officers from Bloomington, Normal, and the McLean County Sheriff's Department. Troopers with the Illinois State Police, such as Timothy Price of Bloomington, take advantage of what Gam calls his hobby. Price, for instance, is learning how to box. I have learned how to control my hands, where to place them, how to better control someone if I have to be in a combative situation, Price said. Training with Jared gives me a lot more confidence. I feel better both physically and mentally. Gam has free weights available, but each client has a specialized program, depending on his needs and wants. First responders have a great deal of stress with their jobs, Gam said. They see things every day that a lot of us do not. I think boxing and a great workout is a great way to de-stress. Then they can go home to their family, tired from a hard workout. Sometimes, he says, the participants have a specific injury they are dealing with. They use these workouts as a form of physical therapy. Back muscles are a particular concern for first responders because they are often lifting and sitting and getting in difficult situations. I look for equipment to help with that. Gam's garage is big enough for a small workout station, but it lacks room and equipment that most big workout facilities have. He purchases equipment from garage sales or on social media sites. Gam does not take payment for the personal training sessions as long as the client is a first responder with a certified agency. Instead, it is the patches that he covets as a wall of honor for those he has helped. For me, it is something where I know I'm doing right, he said. What drives me is when I talk with these guys about something that happened to them on the job, which their training helped with. I know by helping these guys, I am doing the right thing for the right people. Both Price and Carter praise Gam for his work with police officers. I think what he is doing is a tremendous thing, Carter said. There are a lot of different thoughts and opinions out there, and Jared is really doing something special to help all of us. End of article. Town to I, Right Turn Lane Project on Towanda. Normal. Country Financial employees and other motorists soon will have an easier path from the main campus to Veterans Parkway. A new right turn lane from northbound Towanda Avenue to Vernon Avenue is coming as part of a package of upgrades this summer, easing egress from the 1701 Towanda Avenue complex, pending Normal City Council approval. Quote, the current traffic pattern is such it needs to have a northbound right turn lane, which will positively impact the traffic flow for Country Financial as a side benefit, said Bloomington Public Works Director Jim Karch. We really want to replace a signal that has been in place for 40 years. End quote. This has been Susan Over reading to you from the first half of the Bloomington Pantograph on President's Day, Monday, February 20th. At this time, we will take a short break.